So we come on to today's passage, and Lisa's going to read the scriptures for us today. Thank you, Lisa.
Morning. There's two passages I'm reading from today. The first is from Acts 1, chapter 6 to 11. Then they gathered round him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking at the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." And the second reading this morning is from 2 Kings, chapter 2, reading from verse 1. Elijah taken up to heaven. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha was on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and said, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of prophets went and stood at a distance facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you?" "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You've asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, "My father, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and he struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. And when he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. The company of the prophets from Jericho who were watching said, "The spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha." And they went to meet him, and they bowed to the ground before him.
So, I have always been fascinated with flying. Ever since I was a kid, I used to pore over these books about technical information about planes, and I loved this idea of flight. And the idea of a human being able to fly through the air would just be amazing. And obviously we have this in the film world as well. This is a popular thing with Superman. Or whether it's the idea of levitation in Star Wars, or the Silver Surfer in the Fantastic Four. We just love this idea of floating and flying. And of course, there's Iron Man as well. Now, Iron Man's great because he doesn't have any superpowers. He has jets that come out of his hands and his feet. And believe it or not, we are now actually closer than ever to this in real life. This is some footage. We're going to have a look at a video now. I think it's from the US Navy demonstrating their jetpacks. So I think we're going to have this playing now. This is real. I'm told this isn't a hoax. This is a company who developed this jetpack suit that enables them to travel from one boat to another, saving an awfully lot of time, of course, in actually boarding ships and think various other ways to be able to use it. But look at that. Guys just floating through the air. Absolutely incredible, isn't it? But of course, you really shouldn't try this at home. You really, really should not try this at home. And we're going to look at another video now of someone who did try this at home. And fair play to them. You know, they've got it going well. And I think they did actually get it working eventually. But bless them, they did release one of their learning videos for us to enjoy. And so you've got one chap here, if you play the video now. We've got one chap here who's holding the other guy by some sort of pulley system to give some stability. And then the guy gets his jetpack going here. And it all seems to be going okay. They seem to be in control. But then you kind of sense maybe that it's not quite going as well as they hoped. And that maybe that wasn't quite what they predicted. So the first chap tries to help balance. This is my favourite bit. Nobody was hurt in the filming of this video, but the point that I was trying to make here, of course, is don't try this at home. And if we could have our PowerPoint, please. Obviously, Jesus is ascending; he is lifting up from them and lifting into the sky. But that is because Jesus is divine. Jesus, without a single jet engine, 2,000 years ago, lifted off the earth and went up into a cloud. And so for the disciples, obviously, this levitation, this rising of Jesus is an absolutely awesome experience. We read, after he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes and a cloud hid him from sight. And we read that they saw right before them this thing happened. It wasn't relayed to them afterwards. So, as we're doing a series on discipleship, I want to spend some time thinking about the ascension in the context of discipleship. How does it help us to love, trust, and follow Jesus? And the ascension is just laden with this whole idea of the divinity of Jesus. And that's the first point. Don't try this at home. Jesus is divine. The cloud that appears here, you'll be familiar with from the Old Testament stories of when the cloud comes, the presence of God comes over the temple, the presence of God comes over the holy mountain where Moses meets with God as well. So very much also at the transfiguration, you remember there's a cloud that comes. And you remember Peter wants to put up tents so that they can stay a bit longer. We'll come back to that later. And we find many verses about worshipping the ascended Jesus in the Bible. Jesus is ascended in a number of ways. And hopefully our PowerPoint will come up and you'll be able to see those. Jesus is ascended in representation, interceding for us, as we read in the book of Hebrews. He is the completed work of God, the sacrifice. But he is also in representation, but he is also in intercession before the Father, Jesus as high priest, we're told, in the presence of God, ascended on high. Ascended in holiness. Jesus is in the presence of God, one with the Father. And Paul really picks up, doesn't he, on this cosmic theme of the Lordship of Christ. Then thirdly, Jesus is ascended in authority at the right hand of the Father. John picks up this many times in his gospel, the glorification of the Son of Man lifted up as the snake was lifted up in the wilderness. You remember that? Probably you remember other ones. Ascended in judgment. Jesus will judge the world. We picked that up in Psalm 110, verse 1, and in many other places, that his enemies will become his footstool. And then Jesus is ascended in action, waiting to send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God will come upon us, will come on the earth when we ask for it, and on the church. Donald was praying earlier that we would have another awakening of Jesus, of faith in our own times. And he said this, Donald said, I'm going to quote again, every great movement of God can be traced to a kneeling figure. Jesus is praying. Are we praying too? I wonder, as we think about all this focus on prayer at the moment, maybe God's calling us all to reflect on that more. And let's pray that God sends his Holy Spirit, that Jesus pours out his Holy Spirit on us. So hopefully you're inspired to some degree by this to love, trust and follow Jesus. But we can also look at the disciples, can't we, and see how they interacted with others around them. How did they follow Jesus themselves? And maybe we can pick something up from that. And we also see Elisha here, the mentee of Elijah, about to take over the role of prophet. And Elisha knows that Elijah is about to be taken away, but he's promised a double portion of the Holy Spirit if he sees Elijah go. We need to stay close to our master. It's all about Jesus. It's not a thing. It's not even just a book. It's not just a feeling. This is about Jesus, the risen, ascended Jesus. And we need to be in relationship with him. So stay close to the master. That's our second point. If we can have our second slide, please. If you really want to see the cool stuff, you're going to have to stay close to the master. And what then is the reaction of the disciples, thirdly? What can we learn from them? What do they do well? Or how can we learn when there's a correction applied to them? And we see that they were looking intently up into the sky as Jesus was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white, we read in verse 10, stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. I reckon for Elisha, following Elijah, just seeing that whole event of Elijah being taken up into heaven must have been life-changing, totally transforming, faith-building. And yet he still wants to take that cloak and try it out. And that's not such a silly thing to do, really, to try it out gently. Try it out and build faith. God understands that we need to do that. You just look at how God works with so many people in the Old Testament scriptures, with Gideon, who has to try things out slowly. Go and listen to what the enemies are saying. God bids him to do that. I was just reading that recently, and then David is, and Jonathan, sorry, when Jonathan goes up that tower, doesn't he? And he waits to see how the people are going to respond. He's in relationship with God, building faith, listening to God's bidding. But the disciples here, so they're building faith, but they're just completely awestruck to the extent that they just can't get their eyes out of that dot that is just disappearing. It's almost like they're kind of wanting it to come back. They know it's got to go, but they don't want to let go. A bit like when we were watching the balloon, perhaps, earlier. We know that the balloon is disappearing. We were squinting to see it as it goes up into the sky. And they need just a little nudge. Just as they did at the Transfiguration, a little nudge comes. The angel comes to say, why are you standing here looking into the sky. Sometimes we find ourselves looking into the sky, don't we? It's great to be inspired by those memories of encounters with Jesus that we've had. And it's great to spend time in worship. But we need to balance this up with the in and the out. For those of you who were at the last sermon, the angels remind them of what Jesus has told them. That he will come again, that every eye will see him. In Revelation 1 verse 7. Jesus will come on a cloud, in power and in great glory. Luke 21 verse 27. He's coming on the clouds. Kings and kingdoms will bow down. And Jesus has said, don't get preoccupied with wondering if he's just about to return. Get on with the business of being his hands and feet. As John Stott writes, they were supposed to be getting on with going to the ends of the earth, not looking up to the sky. They are to be witnesses, not stargazers, not looking upwards in nostalgia, but looking outwards in compassion. Perhaps they were even waiting, some commentators have suggested, for political restoration. They're still hankering after that, maybe some commentators think. They still yearn for Jesus to sort it all out for them. Maybe you yearn for that, I know I do. But they need to move on to the next part of the plan. They need to step out in faith. And that, in this case, involves going to Jerusalem and waiting for the promised Holy Spirit. Not upwards in nostalgia, but outwards in compassion. And we too need to be ready to move on to the next phase. Perhaps we feel that we just don't have the strength to do it again, to go one more time. We'd rather pretend that we're back in lockdown and head back into our pajamas. But no, God gives us strength. You know, and we were never supposed to rely on our own strength anyway. We were always supposed to rely on his strength. So let's wait on the Lord. Wait for his Holy Spirit. And then step out in faith to love like he loved. To trust God like he trusted God. To be connected with God like he was connected to God. To love with God's compassion. To heal physically, spiritually, mentally. Anyone who would come to him and we can point people to Jesus. We can't heal them ourselves. That's not our job either. But we can go. We can tell people of what Jesus has done for us. The most powerful thing, the most authentic thing we will ever have is our own testimony. That will never be wrong or need correcting. And God gives us strength as he calls us, as he bids us, as he leads us, as he inspires us as we look into the heavens. Amen. Let me pray, and then the band are going to lead us in our final song. Lord God, thank you so much for all that you are, for the way that you revealed yourself to us, not least in the form of our Lord and Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you are to us, that you are God, that the very forces of nature, the very forces of physics are at your control. Thank you that you ascended, and Lord, we praise you now, lift it up. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for pouring out your Holy Spirit upon us. Pour out your Spirit on us today, Lord, we pray. Come, Lord Jesus. And help us to stay close to you. Help us to honour you. Help us to trust you. Help us to do it your way, not relying on our way. Help us to listen to you and be attentive to your prompting and to your bidding. And help us, Lord, to go out as you send us, not worrying about the things that we can't change, that you haven't called us to change, but having the courage to believe that we are part of your body, to go out in the world, to tell others about you, and to take your love into this hurting world. Lord Jesus, come and inspire us and send us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.